Sherry and I became great friends of them, and it was a really kind of the budding of a special relationship. Then when they moved back to the States, they very kindly asked us to be godparents over their two children, and then we met up again this past summer. And it wasn't just nice on a friendship level, it actually really ministered to me. They kindly had me down there a few times to preach, but really it was more to care for me. And now this will be the third time we've had Ron up here. We bring him up primarily, first priority, to minister to a lot of leaders in our church. We just feel like people that are giving out and out and out and out, I want to make sure that they've got coming in. And so bring people in to help do that. But on Sundays is a day where I just want to get the whole church to give a bit of a flavor for them. Dr. Ken Smiley, who travels with him, was a pastor for, I think, 32 years, and I was a professional psychologist, and loves just praying simply, prayer ministry for people's hearts. And he's done that for me, and it's been a great blessing. So, Ron, looking forward to hearing you this morning.
Thank you. Is it on, right? Is it on? Yeah. Well, it's so good to be here. This has become a favorite place for me. It does help that Todd's here. Todd's one of the few friends that you can tease, and he's a good enough Christian not to get you back too bad. I was noticing he blessed that family in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He was in a little car wash. I just, historically, Todd, just, you probably didn't know this, but when they, in the name of Father, Son, I'm Anglican, Father, Son, the Holy, but that's a good one. Nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't presume to correct you. I'll tell you one thing on a serious note before I get started, and then I'll try not to be too teasing here, but, we've got a small church and a church of prayer, and we're so thankful for it to be a church of prayer. We weren't always a church of prayer. And I wasn't always a man of prayer. And I, you know, you hear these people that pray, and anyway, I just began to pray, Lord, help me to pray. That was, you know, people love to pray, and I don't love to pray, and to me, prayer is drudgery. And so, anyway, after praying to help me to pray, the Lord did that. And it's probably one of my favorite things to do now, but that's something that really happened along the way. But anyway, our church is a church of prayer. We do a lot of mission trips and things. And one of the things that we discovered is people are very faithful to pray before a mission trip and during a mission trip. But we found we need prayer like a week or two afterwards, particularly from India. Ken and I just went to India in November, and we had a terrible time after we got back. The Lord was with us. It was like people were praying on the way there. We were going right in the middle of the Mumbai attacks. We miraculously got into the airport. It was closed. I mean, all these things happened to get us there. We had a tremendous time while we were there, but it's almost as if people forgot on the way back. Once we got home, people stopped praying. And I want you to know, and maybe you already do that, but when people go, whether it's to Africa, we need to remember to be praying for them at least a week or two, and it sort of then makes a big difference, and then things sort of whatever. But we really had a hard time coming back for that week or two, or more even, actually. I would say almost a month we had a hard time. We had to kind of get the prayer chain back up because, you know, whatever was going on at the end. So I want to remind you that and really encourage you to pray in that way. Anyway, what a blessing to be here. We had a chance to be at a leaders retreat with men from this church and women and also from other places. From being from Florida, let me tell you, it's pretty neat to be out there in Crow's Nest or wherever that was. You know, we just see flat and humidity. You guys think you want to move to Florida. You don't want to move to Florida. It's hot all the time. I come up here, it feels like walking outside with air conditioning. It's just lovely. Anyway, I have more insulation than most people, and that may be part of it. But anyway, I love it up here, and it's just such a great privilege to be here in this church with all the ones that we're getting to know, to love, and of course, we've known Todd and Sherry for all those years. Anyway, what a privilege. Lord, would you bless us today? Lord, all we can do is come, and all I can do is come with a little. But Lord, I just open up my heart to allow your Spirit to move and to operate today. That to the loaves and fishes, you'd multiply your word and your presence in this place. Lord, I am hungry and thirsty for more of you. And I pray that you'd meet us now. Lord, I pray that you'd meet me. You know the cry of my heart, and that you'd meet the cry and the need of each of those who are here this morning. Oh, lead us and guide us. Give us every word, every grace, every gift that we need to accomplish what you've apportioned for this time. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 1, I want to look at two verses today. I'm going to look at a couple others, but I'm going to try to behave. Acts chapter 1, verses 5 and 8. Jesus is talking here, and he says to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, and I'm going to jump to verse 8. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then down to verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now today is Pentecost Sunday, and for some you may say, who needs Pentecost? That happened 2,000 years ago, and we can't have another Pentecost. And that's true. We really can't have another Pentecost. But this morning, Pentecost is for you if this would fit. If you're hungry and thirsty for more of God this morning, then Pentecost is for you. If this morning you say, I really need to know God's love in a deeper and a greater way, then Pentecost is for you. It's worth one Sunday a year focusing upon this day if it's for you. If you're having a hard time being the husband and the man that God called you to be. In my life, I see myself with my children. I say, Lord, I need more love to be the dad that you call me to be. I'm still hindered in certain ways with the baggage of my past, and it keeps me from loving my kids the way I want to. And I need more. And Lord, I need to be a better husband than I am. And I love my wife, and I've got a great wife, but Lord, I need to love her better. I need healing from selfishness and not noticing things. And Lord, I need a different thing. My wife sometimes says I have man eyes. You ever heard of that before? I'll go to the refrigerator and I'll be looking for the ketchup, and I go in there and I look everywhere and I can't, Susie, there's no ketchup. And she'll say, look in the refrigerator. I've been looking in the refrigerator. She'll come over there, reach right in the front. Boom, there's a ketchup. I don't know how it happened. She said, I got man eyes. A lot of men are like that. I got man eyes. Around the house sometimes I got man eyes. I don't see things and I don't understand things and I need a lot more love. And I've been praying that cleansing fire of the Spirit would release me, that would burn away all the things that displease the Lord. And I wonder about you this morning, if there might be things that you need the Lord to touch. Things that are maybe it's lust or greed, or maybe we're just consumed with more and more stuff, or we're insecure, or maybe we're fearful or anxious this morning. Maybe, like me, I used to have such a terrible time forgiving. And maybe this morning you've got a lot to forgive. And there's just things you don't seem to be able to get over, and you just want to be able to get over it, and you'd like to get over it, and you wish you could, but you seem stuck. Then Pentecost is for you. If you're one of those people. Maybe you're a wife, and you say, I want to love my husband, and yet I'm always competing with him. And my dad ignored me, and I have a hard time feeling good and receiving the love from my husband. And I never really feel comfortable about myself. And we look back and realize that we're carrying all this garbage. And maybe I just don't have the energy that I need to be the wife and the mother and accomplish all these things. And I'm working, and I'm tired all the time. And I need something new and more than what I have. I love that song. There must be more than this. I lived for years as a pastor, and in deeply inside, I knew there must be more than this. And I couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting it. And somehow I sort of, the lie that I ultimately believed was that God loves other people more than love me. The missionaries he loves, and he'll help them, and he'll help Pastor Bill and the Todds of this world, he'll help them, and because he loves them, but there's something wrong with me. I'm so thankful that by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is for each of us this morning, the something more is here for us today. There's something more. Now I want to talk about for a second, what's the problem? How could the apostles need more? They had been ministering with Jesus, and he had been there. And some of you know, if you turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 17, Jesus said something very interesting. And I want to talk this morning about, there's just three, going to make it real short so we have time to pray. There's three relationships that we might have with the Holy Spirit. And I've sort of been through all three of those, and I hope this morning that we can talk about that. Maybe you can find yourself somewhere along this list. In John chapter 14, verse 17, I have it marked. It's a little easier for me. 14, 17. Let's start at 16. Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter," or counselor. And comforter is really probably a better interpretation, frankly. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth." That's a name for the Holy Spirit. "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you." How about that? I'm an Anglican priest, and I've met a lot of people, particularly Anglicans, in which they'll say to me, "God has been with me all of my life." A lot of Roman Catholics and Lutherans that we have. God's been with me. I don't need to get saved. God's been with me. I remember. God's been protecting me, and he's been guiding me, and I know God is with me. And that's true. But it wasn't enough for the apostles simply for Jesus to be with them, for Jesus to be around them. Jesus said, "There's something bigger and greater for you." And this morning, some of us, God's been with us. And we say, "Well, we don't know what all the big deal is. God's been with me." Well, I want you to know, Jesus said, "God's been with you, but he'll be in you." It is possible for God to be with you, but for you never to have received him into your heart by faith. And for some of you this morning, it's time to close the deal. You believe Jesus is God. You believe he died on the cross for your sins. And for all intents and purposes, you're not against any of it. But you didn't realize that it's not enough for him simply to be with you. Jesus said he will be in you. And then if you turn to John 20, 22, just a page or two there to the right, something really beautiful happened. The God that was with them got inside of them. In John 20, 22, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's pretty incredible. They were able to receive the God that was with them and around them. They were able by faith to receive his presence to forgive their sins, to cleanse them, and to make them new. So for some of us this morning, potentially God's with us, but we've not yet encountered, we've not yet let him in us yet. And for some of us, God has been with us and he is in us. And as a little boy, I was 5 years old and I remember accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now I've had a lot of people doubt that conversion through the years when they watch my life. They wondered. And I'll be honest with you, I was a Baptist and I got saved a lot of times. I mean, partly because I had so many sins, but I mean, you know, every camp, I was that first kid up there to get saved. I mean, if I knew all the time, and ultimately I'm trusting that one of those times took, but I think it's the first one. All right. There was some doubt for a while, but I think everyone's maybe in agreement at this point, but it took a while. But I lived as a Christian miserable. Because I read the Bible and I heard the things and knew the kind of husband and I read these sermons and they all sound great and wonderful, but I kind of never really felt like I belonged. And maybe some of you this morning feel that way. You ask Jesus in your heart and you see these people and they want to be missionaries, they want to do this, and you're here and you say, I don't quite get it all. Some of us, maybe we feel like we're pretenders or we're frauds. And we kind of go through the motions and we want so much to have what these other people have, but we don't seem to get it yet. And we know we got saved. We know Jesus on the inside. We need that third thing that Jesus talked about. He said, but when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses. See, we need the power to live a godly life. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't have the power to live a godly life. I was missing it. I was afraid of the Holy Spirit. I was afraid of all the weird stuff, and I didn't want to, I remember saying, "Lord, I want your help, but I don't want to speak in tongues. Please, anything but that." And thank goodness, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not about tongues. It's about the power to be holy and the power to be witnesses. See, he says he wants us to be a witness, number one. The manifestation and power of the Holy Spirit is to make us holy so we can be witnesses, not to witness. He wants to transform us so that our marriages and our parenting and the way that we are at work and the way that we live our lives is just different because we're so full of God's love. And we can't do that for ourselves. There is no amount of reading your Bible or prayer that will get you there. There's no work. There's no trying harder that's going to get you more of God's love and his power. It is a gift in the same way that we got saved, in the same way the power of the Holy Spirit comes, by faith. In fact, every good thing that God ever is going to give you and has for you will only come to you by faith. It will never come by trying harder. And this morning, as you open up your heart and say, okay, Lord, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and there's got to be more. And Lord, if you could make me the husband to love my wife the way you want, I'm for it. I used to come home for years and I would come home and all I could do was seem to sit in my rocking chair and watch football, like American football. And I just didn't have any emotional energy. I didn't have any emotional energy for my children. I didn't have any emotional energy for all these other different things. And I wanted so much to be that guy, but I wasn't it. Until I began to say, okay, Lord, if you can do that by your Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, have your way. Make me into the man, the dad, the husband, the employee, the boss. If you can do it, take all of me. And by faith, I'm going to trust you that you will. In the same way that you touch all these others, I break agreement to lie that it's for other people and it's not for me. Let me tell you something. When that happened, a lot of good stuff began to happen. This transformation began to happen. And I'll be honest with you, I need more. And when I come to Pentecost today, I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit moves in this place in a few minutes and carries me along with it. I don't have nearly as much God as I want. And on this day, for the whole year, church, the whole church year, I'm thinking, Lord, on this day, would you give me a new gift of your presence? I'm not looking for a gift of healing or a gift of prophecy or a gift of tongues. The greatest gift is more of God. I want God, and with him, I'll get everything else I need. Some of you, it's time to let Jesus in on the inside. God's been with you. It's time to let him in. For some of us, we need his presence within us released. We need that coming upon us. You know that word baptism, the baptism of the Holy, it comes from cooking. I was telling him that if I had known this from cooking, I would have been a lot more interested in baptism. Because I'm a professional eater. No one's really called me that, but I know that I am. If you're a professional eater, you know you are. You don't need others to tell you that. All right? In fact, I've told my kids before, I said, if eating ever becomes an Olympic sport, your father will represent the United States of America. Baptism is about being immersed or saturated. I love saturated. You know, you take that cucumber, and that's really where the earliest use of these words in Greek, it actually comes from cooking, and it's about making a pickle. It's not a big theological thing. I mean, it has those implications, but it comes from cooking. And the idea is how you take a cucumber and you put it in the brine. Now, I've had different cooks tell me how long it takes actually to get that cucumber transformed to be a pickle. I've had people tell me it only takes a week. I've had others tell me it takes months. I don't know. But I tell you, you can tell the difference when it happens. When that cucumber gets in there long enough and that brine has the chance to work its way through it, it transforms it where it's still a cucumber in a sense, but it's been so saturated with the brine that now we don't call it a cucumber any longer. We call it a pickle. See, God wants to touch us like that. He wants to saturate every cell of your body this morning with his cleansing fire. See, John the Baptist said in Luke chapter 3:16, he said, there is one that's going to come, and when he, Jesus, baptizes you, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, in the Greek, it's not really Holy Spirit and with fire. It's Holy Spirit fire. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and he will immerse you, he will transform you, and he will change your life. What does the fire do? It burns away all the bad. Some of you are, you're addicted to pornography this morning and lust, and you're trying hard and you don't want to do it, and you got all these secret thoughts and you can't seem to break them. Some of you are haunted by fear and secretly wish you could die and suicide, all kinds of tormenting thoughts this morning. Some of you are jealous and you can never enjoy when good things happen to other people. And you wish so much you get rid of it. Let me tell you something. When the fire comes, when the Holy Spirit begins to touch you, He'll break the power of those things in your life. Because the fire or the presence of the Holy Spirit, He burns off all the garbage. And like a forest fire, when the fire comes, it doesn't just burn off the garbage, it releases, the Holy Spirit releases new life. Do you know there's certain seeds, you guys probably do because you're big forest and everything up here, but in a fire, in a forest fire, I think it's 4,000 degrees, when the temperature gets a certain degree, there are certain seeds which are in the ground that the trees drop, that only when a forest fire comes does it release those seeds to begin to grow. This morning I've been praying for a forest fire. Not only for this inside the church. I'm praying that the fire of the Holy Spirit would bless you and set you free. You've been struggling for all these years. You've been feeling like it doesn't really work for you, or you don't really, and yet this morning I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would come and just set you free. Because you can't do it. But if we can get hungry for more of the Holy Spirit can burn the bad away. And not only, He can release new capacities. The Lord has released over the years more and more capacity for me to love my wife, and I'm praying for more now. The Lord has revolutionized the kind of dad I am. I used to be angry all the time. He's changed tremendously. But there's still things. Issues that happen between my father and I that plague me as a parent to my son and my daughter. And so I'm saying, Lord, I need more. You bless me. So some of us, God's with us. It's time for Him to get in us. Some of us, He's in us, but it's time for us to experience His power, His cleansing fire, so that it can release God's life in us. And some of us, we say, well, we've had all that happen. But let me tell you something. When you fill up your car, did you just fill up your car one time? Trust me, I'm from America. I know. You don't. And it's expensive. Gas is expensive up here. All right? You got, because it gets poured out. It gets used up in that engine. That meaning there is a experience of encounter with the Holy Spirit where this thing begins to initiate. But for some of us, it happened years ago, but we didn't realize, we didn't keep the fire stirred up. And it's time for some refreshment, for being topped off, as it were. Asking, Lord, you've met me before, but Lord, I need for you to set me ablaze again. Lord, it's just a pilot night like now, and I want a whole fire again. And so this morning we want to pray for you. There's going to be people up here in the front, and Bruce and Jeff and some others. And if you have never asked Jesus into your heart to save your Lord, if you've never experienced the forgiveness of sins, and this morning you say, yeah, God's been with me, but yes, it is time on this day. God's been speaking to me. He's been convicting me of my sins. He's been showing me who Jesus is. And I can see that it's real as I see the people around me. This morning, I want that. Praise God. Praise God for this morning. It's for today. And for those that, we're going to get you over here to the left. You're right, my left. And then others of you can say, wow, I just need more. If God could make me the husband like that, if He could take away the numbness, the anger, the temptation. If He could set me free, I'd be for that. The wives say, I just need more love. If He would do that, if He'd take away all this sense of being unworthy, let me tell you something, He could do it. This morning, if you need that fire, that presence of the Holy Spirit to set you free and to release you into the love and the life that God has for you, we're going to ask you to just come up here. Along the front, they have different prayer teams, and we're just going to hit, and we're going to pray. Some of you might have physical pain in your bodies. Even for you, we want to pray this morning, but we're going to pray especially tonight for that. But this morning, our heart's deepest longing and prayer is that the Holy Spirit would come and release you from everything which has held you back, from being the person that God created you to be in Christ. And that as He would burn away what is getting in the way, He'd release you into the fullness of the life of Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Father. Lord, it's hard to imagine. We've been so hurt. Lord, we're so broken. Lord, we've given up. For some of us, we've given up that it could even happen because our addictions seem too big. Our anger, we just are trying to hold it down, Lord. We're just trying to press all this stuff down in temptation. We're just trying to stay away from it. But we've given up the hope that You could really deliver us and set us free. But Lord, this morning I pray in Jesus' name that You would come and touch Your children. Lord, Lord, you long to set us free. You long to burn away everything that gets in the way. And Lord, you long to release us, like in that forest fire, all that new life in Christ. And I pray this morning that as, Lord, as we pray, as we lay hands upon these, your precious ones, that they would experience your love, your cleansing, your freedom. Lord, that those that need to get saved, Lord, this morning, they would experience the peace which comes from having our sins forgiven and knowing that you are for us and not against us. For those who need the power to live a godly life, to be witnesses, that when people see our marriages, our children, our family, they say, wow, those people are different and they're not religious, they're just different and how attractive that is. And Lord, for those who need to be reinvigorated this morning, who've walked with you and they've experienced these things in the past, but today they need to be topped off. Oh Lord, would you come? Lord, we know you will. So with great expectation, we yield this time of prayer to you. Bless each and every one. You say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Today, Lord, we open up our hearts for you to fill and to touch, to cleanse and to make new. So we pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. We invite you to come.